Good evening. Thank you so much for staying tuned to 90.9 FM. I want to thank my mom for giving birth to me, the beautiful Virgin Islands. She had 50 states and Puerto Rico to choose from. She chose the Virgin Islands, and I thank her each chance that I get. My name is Lawrence Bishalta, and my guest this evening, Miss Peterson.
Hi, good evening. Yes, this is Chanel Peterson, Director of Communications for the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority.
Great to hear. So, Ms. Peterson, I interviewed you before, so I know all about your... So, we'll just jump into whatever information you want to provide, and we'll go forth.
Oh, absolutely. So, just wanted to give some updates to the community about what is happening on the island of St. Croix in regards to finding some high levels of lead and copper and the action that WAPA is taking in collaboration with Department of Health, as well as in collaboration with Department of Planning Resources. And honestly, there's a slew of agencies, including Department of Education, VITEMA, National Guard, PD, that's going to be assisting us coming up on distributing water vouchers for the residents and WAPA customers that live in the impacted areas that have been identified. So some of the steps that WAPA has been taking includes going into these areas and conducting resampling. In fact, we're able to do so within the first couple weeks, as well as we went ahead and sampled a few schools that are also in the impacted areas, which include Alfredo Andrews Elementary School, John H. Woodson Junior High School, as well as Educational Complex and Mount Pleasant Housing Community. And we did get back some good news on those additional sites, and they were found to be well below action level and some undetectable. And so we're continuing to sample in collaboration with the Department of Planning and Natural Resources. We have initiated a new plan, which is Clean Action in the USCI. And with this initiative, it not only will include the distribution of vouchers, but we are also planning to distribute water filters that will be able to be used in the home at the faucets, as well as pictures and lead testing kits. So we are working diligently to provide additional resources to our customers who have not been able to drink the potable water. However, though this is the case, we are continuing to encourage people, just so that they're aware, though we have a no drinking advisory, that they can still utilize the water for bathing, for cleaning, for laundering clothes, as well as flushing. So there are still other uses that they can continue to do with the water. When we talk about, you know, no consumption, it's primarily in regards to no drinking and no cooking. And so we are kicking off a new website soon, and that website will allow customers to go online and to pre-register to confirm whether they're eligible. And that eligibility is really down to three main things. They have to be a WAPA customer. They have to have an active account in that they have used WAPA's water in the past 6 months, and they have to also be in the neighborhoods that have been tested high for lead and copper. As we continue these efforts, we're hoping to create more of a dialogue with our customers. Recently, as in like the 5 minutes ago, we were able to host a Facebook town hall informational session where Department of Planning and Natural Resources Commissioner J.P. Oriol, as well as Department of Health Commissioner Jose Encarnacion, along with our CEO, Andy Smith, really shared on all three parts, you know, what each agency's role has been on the regulatory side, as well as the actions that WAPA is taking to improve the system. Now, it is not a short-term fix when we talk about the aging infrastructure, the aging water system pipes that the authority is working with, but know that there is a plan, and we are executing that plan. Recently, the water department shared that they have completed more projects in the last 3 years than they had seen possible in the last 10, primarily because of the funding that's been provided through the Environmental Protection Agency, through the Drinking Rehabilitation Project, and then also with funding being supported by FEMA, we'll be conducting a prudent replacement program. Now, with the prudent replacement program, we are looking at overhauling or fixing the entire system across St. Croix. And this is a top priority because, you know, for quite some time, the customers on St. Croix have had issues with the quality of the water. We have not been blind to that. And we're finally seeing the fruition of all the work that's really been going on over the past few years and most immediately over the past few weeks since we did identify and discover lead in the water. Other good news, as we continue to work diligently to resolve this issue, we were actually able to go into one of the higher areas, which is Estee Strawberry, that had a high test level. And in our exploratory digging, we were able to pull out a lot of the components that were there and utilized Department of Health machinery to identify that there were lead in some of these pieces. And once we were able to actually take out everything and install all new lead components, you know, that's been a concern for some of our customers in terms of, like, are we sort of patchworking the system? And that is not the case. We are looking at replacing all the elements that may be impacting the quality of water. Because sometimes, let's just say historically, even if we had replaced some of the old pipes, what may have still had lead would have been the valves or even the meter boxes and the meters. And with us discovering this, this is why we have a very strong plan moving forward to replace each of the sites that have been identified that has lead in the water. So that's a pretty big update that we are working on right now on improving the water in St. Croix so we can provide that clean water for all residents.
Yes, it is. And I'd like to thank you for providing it. I had a few questions with some of the estates, and I know you mentioned Andrews, with the schools also, and Woodson. I noticed when I get the press releases that 185 children passed it, but four didn't. Did they come up with a summary of what was the next test that they were expecting to see, maybe? Because it might not be from the water, it might be from other elements that had caused it.
Yes. So out of the children between 0 and 6 that have been tested, have 4 of them, as you said, have been tested positive. Now, there is a step-by-step process to this from the Department of Health side. So what Department of Health is doing next is they do another test, which then draws a full vial of blood versus the prick that they receive when they first do that test. And that full draw of blood is going to be more accurate because it's going to ensure that it's not possibly, you know, something that was in the air or on the skin. And so that's why that next step is important. Once that second test continues to confirm positive lead in the blood, then they go into the children's home, because lead can exist in many places. It can be in the paint. It can be in the structure. It could be in the air. It could be on toys. And so that's the next piece, where they actually test different parts of the home, as well, of course, as the water. And then they actually make the assessment as to where the source of lead is. And so until they have done that second test to confirm the positive draw, and then until they actually go into the home and begin to test the elements of the home. At that point, we're going to know for sure where the source is and is this part of the lead issue that we currently have in the water. So Department of Health is going to be providing updates on that, on each of those children. And so we're staying, you know, close to the media as well, as once we receive the information, we share it on our Facebook page as well as our website so that people can find that information in regards to, you know, the impact on children.
Yeah, I know. I only said that because I have a 5-year-old, so I know how much time she likes to put stuff in her mouth. So it could be from a lot of different items, as you stated, not only from the water. I know why the different departments are working with you, but I have to ask, so people who are listening might not know. Most people know health has to be involved because of the testing. A lot of people might not know why DPNR is involved. I know because they're part of EPA. I've worked with DPNR under the historic preservation, one of the, I think, close to 8 different departments within divisions within that department. If you could explain a little bit about DPNR responsibility in this effort.
Absolutely. So, as you mentioned, each agency does have their very specific role in this solution. And with Department of Health, their focus is on the safety of the water. And in consideration to the issue being lead, the priority is pregnant women and children under 6 years old. And so that has actually came out, you know, why is Department of Health, only testing children? And that's because children are the most at risk for long-term effects. And so that's why even on an annual basis, Department of Health tests 300 children on an annual basis. And now that we have found the lead, they're actually ramping up those efforts. And they announced that their goal is to test every child on the island of St. Croix. In addition to that, they provided...
I don't mean to jump in, but I think that's important, only because I myself didn't know that. I didn't know that health does this test normally. So it's not like to say it's just more public that they're doing this type of test, but what you're saying is they test for these type of tests all the time for this type of age group, this age group that we're talking about under 6.
Absolutely. Every year, 300 children are tested by Department of Health. So this is they're not new to the game. They say they are true to the game because of the concern of lead and children. And so we have not had any indication previously that lead was an issue, because with their annual testing, there was never an alarm to indicate on our side as well that the lead was found in the water. In fact, in the last result, which I want to say was last year, in the one child that was found, it was not in the water, but it was another element in the home that had lead. And that's a very, you know, challenging concept as we talk about lead being in the water, because of course our goal within WAPA, within Department of Health, is getting to zero lead, but lead exists. It's an element that exists in the air, it exists in the soil, and so though we'll continue to strive for that, that is why the Environmental Protection Agency is there, because they have set up the guidelines and the requirements to get to a place where we can say this water is clean water and is safe to drink. And so there are certain levels that are within compliance through the Environmental Protection Agency, which is the federal agency that oversees the quality of the water and the testing of the water. And that's on the local side, that's Department of Planning and Natural Resources rule. So when we talk about samples being conducted, when we talk about test results being reviewed, Department of Planning and Natural Resources is actually the agency that conducts the samples. They then send those test results, or those samples, off to EPA certified labs. And then WAPA receives those results and our lab technicians review it. We then send those results to DPNR, And then DPNR then go ahead and send those results to the Environmental Protection Agency. And know that this is something that we do on a regular basis. Now, WAPA actually tests the water every single day across the territory in varying locations. When it comes to lead and copper, the lead and copper testing is actually on a 3-year cycle. And we got to that 3-year cycle because prior to that, we were actually testing every year. So every year, in collaboration with DPNR, we were testing for lead and copper, and we were found to be in compliance. Prior to that, we were testing every 6 months. So for a series of years, every 6 months, in collaboration with DPNR, we were testing for lead and copper, and we were found to be in compliance. So after years and years of compliance, we were placed on a 3-year cycle. Now, even up until recently, on our last sampling, we did not find the types of results that we found in late September, early October. And the reason being is these areas were areas that had, well, part of the reason, I should say, is the areas that we tested were areas that may have not had their service on, so they were not utilizing WAPA's water on a regular basis. They may have also been in areas that were historically brown or red, and that initiated this extended or supplemental sampling. So we went out and tested 66 locations, and what that came back with was 36 results that were high, and the remainder of the results that were either significantly low and or undetectable. Now, when we went out with EPA, UVI, and DPNR, we were not looking for lead or copper. We were trying to identify what was causing the water to be brown red. So what that means is we were not actually following the lead and copper protocol, because it's a very specific process when you're testing for lead and copper. And part of that process is even down to the size of the sampling bottle, because the size of the sampling bottle is going to have an impact on your test results. So we went back and we resampled the 36 areas that were found to be extremely high, and those numbers dropped. Now, they continued to be above what we call the action level, and what that basically means is it requires WAPA to take action. And that taking action is or could be reviewing the corrosion control program, which helps to reduce the corrosion along the pipes. It could include replacing the service lines. It could include a series of things. But one of the things that we did note when we did conduct that resampling is after 10 minutes of flushing, all 36 of those sites that tested above the action level either dropped immensely or significantly, or they were undetectable after only 10 minutes, which for us, that meant that it was highly likely that the stagnant water was a cause for the higher levels of lead. So one of the advisories we have shared with people in terms of, you know, reducing their risk with lead is to run their water for a few minutes, and that will actually help to reduce the lead in the water. And so that was, you know, the initial steps that we were taking in collaboration with the other agencies to identify this problem. Now, since then, we have continued to conduct the samples, as I mentioned, the schools, and then the housing community, and even last week, we sampled the neighborhood where we replaced all the service lines and the components along that, and then we also sampled downtown Christiansted and downtown Frederiksted, and so right now, we are reviewing that data, reviewing those test results, and as soon as DPNR has had the opportunity to review it as well, we'll be sharing that information with the community, and we've actually stood up a website on the WAPA page, www.viwapa.vi/STX water. And right now on that page, we're primarily hosting the press releases that are coming out from the Joint Information Center. We've got a chart outlining the different areas that have been impacted, as well as the areas that have tested below detection level. And soon we'll also be kicking off a new website, which is cleanwaterusci.com. And on this site is where you're going to find resources from not just the Virgin Islands Water and Power Authority, but information for Department of Health survey that they're taking to gather information from customers, not just, you know, in the areas that are impacted, but across the territory. And then we'll also be hosting information from the Joint Information Center, which has been stood up to support the communication efforts during this emergency. And I know you mentioned, like, so what are all the other, you know, agencies doing and what's their role? So because this has been identified as a state of emergency, VITIMA has had a very significant role in supporting the coordinated effort. The National Guard will be assisting with providing personnel as we conduct the distribution for the water vouchers, as well as the upcoming filters and other resources for our customers. We have Department of Human Services who are ensuring that, you know, the individuals in the community who don't have access to leave the home and pick up these sources of relief will actually have these items delivered to them. We're working very closely with the Department of Housing Authority so that we're ensuring the housing communities that are impacted will also have these resources that we prioritize so that they can receive them. And because a lot of times individuals or residents within the housing community may not have the means to drive to the distribution centers. And so we are also bringing the water vouchers to them. And so that's some other good news in terms of why it's so important that all of these agencies are involved. And I'm sure I'm missing out a few others. I don't know, for folks who had the opportunity to listen in on the informational session this evening on Facebook, Commissioner Encarnacion, she mentioned the fact that we are having daily meetings. And when we say daily, 4 or 5 times a day, very active, very very progressive in that we're getting things done. They're not just meetings to talk, but they're meetings to ensure that things run smoothly when we have these distribution centers, that plans are being reviewed across the agencies that need to see them. And then we're also receiving the support and resources from the agencies that are participating as well. So a lot's happening behind the scenes. We're meeting on the weekends. I mean, a lot of people are working around the clock to ensure that we can provide relief as safely, quickly as possible for our customers.
Great to hear with all this information. The only suggestion I have is, well, I probably have them before you leave this evening. But first of all, I know you said Human Services is doing the delivery. Maybe talking to the commissioner, finding some way of having a counselor, just in case I'm having a hotline for somebody to call and be talking over some of these issues. Not everybody can process the information like you and I. It might take somebody else to, or whatever else they're going through in life. So maybe that might assist some of these people in the obstacles that they're facing, other than the water, that the water probably just triggered it. And as you said, if all this information is given, especially if they call some type of hotline like that, and all this information, what you're provided, it reduces the negativity of people when they want to respond negatively towards WAPA on this issue, especially when I know, like I said, my daughter put stuff in her mouth and how those 4 detected. The first thing people are going to say, oh, see, look at that. They have some poison and lead poison. And instead, as you stated, there was a proof of one issue that you did testing last year that somebody had lead in the paint in their house. So different things like that, giving them all kind of different examples. Let's not get carried away. Let's look at the data and then we can move forward from there. You mentioned earlier with DPNR doing testing. I know that because I get email. Well, I get, being in this situation, I get a lot of press releases from DPNR, they also test the beach water to make sure that what we're swimming in doesn't have E. coli in the water or anything like that. So that's why I know. But all that information that's provided, like you said, they test the water for WAPA, should be provided. If you have this new website, put it up, because it's there in the past that you said, hey, look, they've been testing water. This is nothing new. And I think this is what needs to get out to the public, that this is nothing new that you guys do. But we just don't know. And by us not knowing, you're going to have a lot of questions. Oh, why WAPA didn't do this? Or why WAPA didn't do that? So all of this type of information, and I'm glad that you're on providing it here. I'm glad you had the Facebook situation. Not everybody's on Facebook, but at least you have it there. And just every base, like covering every base is what is needed. While you said that WAPA goes out and does testing, and you mentioned UVI. Can you give me a little information of how UVI was utilized?
Yeah, you know, it's very hard to see. It's hard to see work being done, except for when we have to, you know, turn off the power to fix a pole, or we have to turn off the water to replace a leak, or even for some of our rehabilitation projects that does require us to have scheduled water outages. And so oftentimes when people experience these scheduled outages, they're thinking, oh, WAPA again. How come they can't keep the water on? And in reality, that's us actually improving the system. That's us replacing old, aged iron piping with new PVC pipes. That's us extending our services to additional customers. There's a lot that goes on that can sometimes feel like an inconvenience, but it's actually progress. And one of the things that, you know, we continue to encourage people, especially when it comes to these scheduled outages during these repairs and these rehabilitation projects, is to tune in to our social media page. Sign up for WAPA Alerts. We send out WAPA Alerts through text, through email, and through voice. And if anybody hasn't been on our Facebook page yet or our website, we have Twitter as well. We share on Instagram through our press releases, on LinkedIn, so we can be found. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, the need for everybody to feel like they have access to information. So Department of Health has set up two hotlines for people who have concerns about lead in their drinking water. And those hotlines are 340-712-6299. And the other one is 340-776-1519. And DPNR also has a hotline where residents can call in regards to sampling concerns at 340-514-3666. Now, all of those hotlines are open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And people are there during those times waiting to answer the phone and provide the information. Department of Health has also been providing more information on the ability to do testing. So testing is also available at the Sunny Isles Medical Center. And that is not only for children, but for anybody who's interested. And then, you know, when it comes to just information and where people can go, there's always Department of Health's, you know, social media pages, their website, and the same thing for DPNR. We are diligently keeping all of these places recent and updated so that people can feel informed and know that our goal, especially in communications, of course, is to make sure that people not only know, not only are they getting the information, but they at least know where to go when they want the information and the places that are available for them to get that information. So that's very important for us. And we are, you know, improving every day on providing additional resources. And so just like, you know, being able to come on the radio as well, as another means of getting information out. I mean, I do these regularly throughout the week because I know that's such an important medium, especially for the elderly in the community and knowing that they know that they're, you know, that they're important and that we're also trying to reach them because it is a large portion of our population.
Yeah, I agree. And you provide a lot of information. Can I take a minute and a half commercial break and I'll be right back? Do you have the time that I could take a minute and a half off? Hello?
Hello, Ms. Hi, yes. It's breaking up a little bit for me. My apologies.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to take a minute and a half break and I'll be right back, okay?
Sounds good.
Good. Learn to swim classes at the Sintama Swimming Association. Drowning is quick, but drowning can be prevented. Drowning is the single leading cause of death for children under the age of 4. Summer is upon us, and it's all about pool and play. Learn to swim at the Sintama Swimming Association. We offer American Red Cross classes for age 6 months through adults. We have sessions beginning June 13, 2022. For more information, please call 340-244-1359. That's 340-244-1359.
Attention all private homeowners and contractors. East Caribbean Metals, located on the island of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, have affordable pricing on all roofing material, PVC pipes, steel, and much more. Call East Caribbean Metals, 1-784-456-1843. Remember, your U.S. dollar goes further when you purchase your building supplies from East Caribbean Metals. Visit www.ecmil.net for more product information.
Lawrence Bush Shelter and the D.H.J. Jackson Hamilton Nonprofit Organization are the proud sponsors of the Catholic Voice, aired every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. If you or someone you know would like to be sponsors of the Catholic Voice, please contact Atanya at 407-719-2635. That's 407-719-2635.
Hi, good day. Do you live in the BVI or the USVI and want to advertise your product? Well, you've come to the right place. On FM 90.9 and FM 92.3, you can advertise your business or your event. All you have to do is call Atanya at 407-719-2635. Call Atanya if you live in the BVI or the USVI and want to advertise your product or your business and you want to reach more listeners. Call Atanya at 407-719-2635.
Thank you so much for staying tuned to 90.9 FM. My name is Lawrence Bushalto, and my guest this evening is Ms. Peterson, the Director of Communication at the Water and Power Authority. Ms. Peterson?
Hi, yes. Thank you again for having me.
I know we were talking about the seniors and all the information, and like I said, I'm thanking you for coming on, taking your time out to provide this type of information. My earlier question with UVI I was just trying to get some information of what I know you guys got as a group, DPNR, and I understood why DPNR was there. I understood health. Just give the public a little information of, because another group that I thought would have been out with you would be waste management, checking the same lines if something was contaminating your water lines or was there some break or something like that. So I wasn't sure if does waste management also go out with you guys.
No, and I'm sorry. I was having some trouble hearing you earlier, so if I missed that question, I do apologize. No, waste management does not go out with us because their system is separate from ours. And essentially, based on even just like proximity, we don't foresee that the waste management system would currently impact our system. And even just based on the daily tests that we do, which is E. coli, bacteria, on a daily basis across the territory, that is really where we would have identified those challenges if there was an issue where the waste management system was impacting ours. But we have not seen that be the case. And so that's partly why Waste Management is not directly involved. Now, Waste Management Authority and WAPA does share the funds that come through Department of Planning and Natural Resources. And so we do work together on that side when it comes to the funding to upgrade the systems that we do provide to customers. But other than that, for this particular issue, Waste Man doesn't have an active role.
Okay, understood. And how was UVI utilized for the test, for the various inspections?
So when it comes to sampling, you have to be certified and EPA certified. And if you are not EPA certified, then you have to be trained by Department of Planning and Natural Resources, depending on the test, because some tests does require certification while other tests simply requires training. So UVI supported this effort in providing individuals who could assist on the sampling, because it was essentially unheard of that we would be testing 66 sites in a course of 2 days. And so UVI was very instrumental there, as well as being able to support in utilizing their labs to conduct the testing.
Oh, that's amazing, 66 sites. As there are bigger companies, as well on St. Croix in the sense of the private sector, whether it's Captain Morgan, Cruz and Rum, or the distillery, or, well, a storage distillery plant. Have you approached any one of those to try and assist or provide any type of guidance?
So, absolutely. We talk regularly with some of these key accounts. As well as you mentioned, you know, some of these companies also utilize and source their own utilities. And so our water department has a very good relationship with the individuals that you mentioned. And so we have been able to learn from their experiences as well. Like, one of the things that we had reached out to the distillery about was, you know, in terms of the distribution and what kind of funds it would take, because, you know, at one point the distillery had to distribute water because of a health issue with the spewing of oil. And so we were able to learn from their process there. And then with Diageo, that relationship is just ensuring that, you know, what we're learning, they are well aware of, and they can be assured that, you know, their business isn't being impacted, because that's a huge part of the economy and overall the number of employees that they have there would really be, or I should say, is essential to the island of St. Croix. So we're definitely utilizing the private sector to learn from and to gain best practices from. Absolutely.
As you mentioned, and for those who don't know what the situation on St. Croix, when the refinery had the oil mist that went into the air and affected a lot of the neighborhoods around the oil refinery and had to give out, like you stated, free water. Is there a plan that they have that they shared with you, or that WAPA has a contingency plan on situations like that?
So we have not, in the recent past, have to distribute water because we were compliant. Now, there are other functions within the government that does do commodity distribution, as they call it. So whether it's, you know, during times of storm recovery where they have to distribute food or water, and then sometimes in preparation for the storms, there's distribution of sandbags. So that group is what's called ESS-6, which is headed by Department of Human Services. So we're also relying on Department of Human Services as the lead at these distribution centers or sites, because they have that expertise as the lead of this particular function. So WAPA is not working in a silo. We are working very closely with all of these agencies, because they have the experience. And you know, I think it was mentioned during one of the Senate hearings, like, hey, we should be used to these types of emergencies, not because of poor infrastructure, but because of the storms and the fact that oftentimes as we have gone through storms, a lot of these agencies are very comfortable getting together, getting a plan and executing. And so that's a big part of what DHS, FITEMA, National Guard, and as well as VIPD are supporting us on as we prepare for the voucher distribution, as we prepare for the filtration distribution, and then also being able to distribute the lead test kits to the homes.
Yes, correct. I was jumping in the sense of VITEMA. I agree with you. VITEMA probably has that type of contingency plan. And as you stated, ESM or ESF, I forgot because I haven't been there in such a while, I forgot which ones, but I know how it's situated and how, like you stated earlier, with the daily meetings and the brainstorming, it's not an easy task. I've been there, I've done that, and I wouldn't want to be in your shoes or others that has to go through that all the time. Because most of the time you do practice runs. You sit down and you say, okay, this is what, but practice runs are never the same as the real situation that you really have to be on pins and needles and worry about. As WAPA and all the different agencies get together, what's the next step that you feel will make it come to fruition quicker? What do you see WAPA with all these meetings that you have that you can inform us and saying, hey, we're, as I can hear what you're saying, a lot of things have been done properly and the information is being given out, but how else do you think that we can get easement to the listeners and all the residents for a fruition of this issue?
So right now, the focus is getting the vouchers into the hands of our customers so they can have those resources to purchase drinking water. So even to today, the ESF, and I said that, I'm not a fan of acronyms, right? So ESF stands for Emergency Support Functions, so the agencies that get together to support this. So we literally did a walkthrough today at each of the distribution centers to identify what's the setup going to be, how are we going to create the lines, is it going to be a drive-through, is it going to be a walk-in, who are the individuals who are going to be on site. So that is the most near-term action that we have in place, is getting these water vouchers into our customers' hands. So we have developed the three stations, which is going to be at the Frederickstead Playground the Frederickstead parking lot across from the Nidre Cummings Playground. It's going to be at the Agricultural Fairgrounds, where people can walk up and get their vouchers there. And then also at the John H. Woodson Junior High School, which is going to be a drive-through. We are segmenting each of these three areas by neighborhood. And so each neighborhood is going to have a location that they're going to go to in order to pick up their vouchers. That is the most immediate thing. And that way we can provide that relief so people can, again, go to a selection of stores to actually redeem the voucher and get some aid in being able to purchase drinking water.
Great to hear. How is it going to be set up, X amount of cases per person, or how did you guys sit down and make a decision on that? Well, this household has, let's say Strawberry 101 has 10 and 5 individuals in the house, do they get 5 cases? How did it set up with that?
So the eligibility was really broken down into 3 main things. We needed to ensure that the customers that were actually providing the water to utilize WAPA's water, because there are many citizens across the territory that have a cistern and they don't use WAPA's water at all. And so that was the first thing. And then with that, along that same line, is making sure they have an active account because they have actually used our water in the past 6 months. And then the third is that they're in the neighborhood. Now, we looked at the water usage for the residents that have been impacted, and we identified that It was a huge range, as you can imagine, right?
But we yeah, I'm like, you guys better use AI for that, because my head would be busting.
No, man, just a few spreadsheets, a few reports pulled, and we're able to pull up like the water usage, because water usage is always going to, of course, be tied to the bill as well. So the less water usage, the lower the bill. The higher the water usage, the higher the bill. Now, things we keep in mind is that all water isn't drinking water. There's water for flushing. There's water for washing dishes. There's water for cleaning. So the voucher isn't meant to cover your entire bill, but it is to provide you with that support to purchase drinking water. And so with that in mind, we are going to be distributing $100 to these customers. And so that voucher will be able to be used to actually purchase the water. And it doesn't have to be bottled water, like in its plastic form. Like you can utilize, there's a company called Blue Mountain Water that do refills for 5 gallons. So again, we wanted to make sure that it was accessible for people who may not, you know, purchase plastic bottles, but instead they have refillables that they would prefer to use. And so that's really how we developed the eligibility and how we're planning to distribute. Now, people can go on our website, thecleanwaterusvi.com, and they'll be able to check whether they're eligible or not. And that's really a big push that we're going to have for the next few days, is where to go to check eligibility and how do I know which distribution center I should go to. Now, of course, as mentioned, we are going to be having both the agricultural fairground, I'm sorry, both the John H. Woodson Junior High as well as the Frederickshead parking lot as the drive-through stations or centers to pick up. So if people don't have the means for a transportation or a vehicle, they can always choose the walk-up location at the agricultural fairground. But we'll definitely be releasing those dates, those times. So we're asking the community, you know, to keep their eyes and ears to the media outlets for when we do release, when we're going to start the distribution and actually be able to provide that relief.
Understood. You mentioned earlier about some of the homes have cisterns, but some of the truckers get their water from WAPA. How, and I know you said earlier that the water from the plant is good. So then those who have purchased water from truckers should feel comfortable saying, hey, it didn't go through the system. It came directly from the plant.
That's right. The water from water haulers, from truckers, did not go through the system. They got that at the standpipe. And we did test at the standpipe and found that those that at that location, it was, again, below the action level and significantly to the point where it was undetectable or with no detection limit, essentially. And I say that because I'm always wary because a lot of this is like technical language. And we can't say the things that scientifically, you know, doesn't add up, right? Because one of the things that we have talked about is already the goal, like the big goal and then the realistic goal, because as mentioned, lead is in the air, it's in the soil. And so as we continue to strive for that, that's an important piece to note. But if you are getting water through the water haulers, you can be assured that you do not have a concern with high levels of lead or copper because it's at the standpipe and that area was cleared at the standpipe. Because at the Seven Seas, we also tested and test regularly, and that water as well was cleared.
Yeah, and I knew that, but I just wanted to make sure that's clear from, because I'm not an official WAPA Water and Power Authority employer or communication director. I just wanted that to be out as well, stating that you did say that the cisterns, but some of the people who have cisterns, like I have a cistern, I purchase water from water haulers. I'm sure they don't get it from the various private, some might get it from the two private companies, but I'm sure others get it from the standpipe, as you stated. So I just wanted that concern to be a little calmer for individuals who go that route of purchasing water through water haulers. One or two more questions because we're running out of time here. As a communication director and seeing all of this information, you go through a lot with this. And as you stated earlier, because I get the emails and the press releases that state that you guys do a lot of maintenance. You are in a, as I stated earlier, you're on pins and needles because you're dealing with this issue that's not really expected or planned, because you guys, nobody ever plans to have a problem like this. But you still have to do your normal day-to-day job of dealing with issues of electrical issues. How do you, and then you have to deal with the board and then also with Mr. Smith. As a communication director, this must be one of your toughest times in the last 3 weeks or a month.
Absolutely. There's no denying that. It has definitely been a very trying 3 weeks. But you know what really drives me, which is why I joined the authority, is knowing that my role is to ensure that the community feels informed, and with information, people can feel better. And as I always say, I'm not always going to have good things to share. I'm not always going to have happy things to share, but just being empowered with knowledge can give people relief. And that's literally what I strive for every single day that I wake up or don't go to sleep, knowing that, you know, my role and my team's role and the entire WAPA family is all about providing a better quality of life by providing quality water and quality services. So it is a labor of love.
Yeah, I have to say that because it's certain times that I hear certain things and I'm like, wow, it must be a lot on individuals when you sometimes like I know your position, so I know what you have to go through. And you have a lot of times you don't have the control, because if you put too much information out, then you get it from higher ups. You don't put out enough, you get it from the common citizens like me giving you a hard time. So it's, you're in the middle and it's like a tug of war. And sometimes it's, especially now with this situation that you're going through, I know you can't say certain things because of the situation that you guys, and then, but you still have to provide because there's citizens out there that wants to know answers. So look, I know the last 3 weeks you've been going through a lot. And then, like you stated earlier, still have, what made me laugh was when you said WAPA again. That's the main thing, people. WAPA again. So that's the main thing when you hear power outages that people will say. But whether it's whether you guys put it on your phone, because of course that gets hit the minute power goes off, people call the line. I think that best line that you stated is most of the time you guys are doing repairs to better serve people. And instead of it saying WAPA again, is we're there to better serve you guys. This is maintenance or something like that, because that first initial call is what's going to get people upset, and then people calling. And so I just feel for you guys sometimes, because everybody can't process information the same. And everybody needs, some people need it more or need it to be repeated more than others. Well, so it's just a tight situation that you go through, and I wish you and the director the best, Naomi, all of you guys go through some of the same obstacles. It's like I said, it's rough. I just feel for you guys sometimes.
Well, I appreciate it. I do. But, you know, we know what we were walking into, I suppose, right? I mean, but like you said, no one expected this, and we don't expect these huge challenges, because no one really expected. But every time, and we talk about this within the WAPA team, is we know that we are always going to be willing to rise to the challenge. And that's exactly what everyone within the authority is doing. That's what we're seeing from Department of Health, from DPNR. I mean, DOH had boots on the ground for days going to the individuals who would not be able to complete their survey. And they took the bickering. And yes, it was all bickering to WAPA. And we're like, now you guys know what we go through. But that's okay, because we know that we have challenges. And the thing that I hope that people can see is that we also have a plan. Like, we have a plan, and the plan is being executed. And piece by piece, we're going to get to a better place, and we're going to have better water. But there is definitely an element of patience that so many of us are fed up with because it's been a historical challenge. But as you know, I was talking to the water department, they have seen more projects completed in the last 3 years than we've seen in the last 10. And having this federal funding has really been so beneficial. And they're hoping to have many more success stories about communities being completed, such as Clifton Hill Water Rehabilitation Project. We had the Campo Rico Rehabilitation Project that is about 70% complete. We're kicking off the Hanner's Rest Rehabilitation Project. We have a couple projects in St. Thomas for not just rehabilitating, but for expanding in areas out country. I mean, like, these are things that people have been waiting for that's literally in writing, being reviewed, and funding is available. So this is, I mean, it's an exciting time, but I understand the frustration because, you know, I live here my whole life almost. I born here, as they say, born and raised. And so I was in that same car, like, Lord, Wapa again. Jeez, like, I was there. And now that I'm behind the scene, it's like, man, these guys, these women, like, Wapa don't sleep. And that's even a hard concept.
24-hour like, operation.
Turn on your lights at 2 a.m. in the morning. It's a Wapa employee that's hanging out and walking hard. I just say hanging out. Walking in the plants. Walking out in the field, like, it is a 24-hour, 365-day job. And I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm so grateful for our plant operators, for our engineers, for our line workers, because those guys, those gals, they really are the ones putting in that manual labor. They're the ones that are, you know, away from their families on Christmas Day, on Thanksgiving Day, on when everybody jumping up for carnival, they are still working. And that is, it's really phenomenal when you think about the amount of effort and grit and passion, honestly, that a lot of the employees have that allow the territory to have these services. And I know that it's hard because we live on an island. And so that means that we don't have the support of, you know, tapping into Puerto Rico to say, hey, send us some power because the plant has an issue. Whereas, you know, they're going through some of their own
problems themselves.
That's the truth, right? So that's definitely not the island we would call now. But as an island and having what is really seen as a microgrid of a power plant, it's going to go down because that's just what machines do from time to time. But what we're working on is when we do go down, that it's shorter and it's less people that are impacted. And that's a huge part of resilience. So when the storms come, it's people are back up online quicker and people perhaps didn't even go out at all. And that's really what we're striving for. Like, we can't strive for always on 100% of time. That's impossible. Machines don't work like that. Like, we're talking huge, no matter how brand new, machines will at some point in its life fail, whether because it's too hot or a bird got into something. You know, like, these are the things that are going to happen, but our job is in that resilience. Building the resiliency on the energy side, on the grid, is really so that when these outages happen, it's either A, they're happening because we're actually fixing things, we're repairing things, we're ensuring that we're keeping up with our maintenance, or if it is an issue where we have a trip on a unit that we're able to bring up another unit quickly. And that's, you know, that's something that is really improving. And for people who live on St. Croix, I know they can attest to that. And St. Thomas, within the next month or so, with the installation and the finalizing of all the commissioning and the testing, we'll be able to experience as well with the new phase two Wardzilla. So,
all right.
I mean, it's good stuff.
I'm out of time, but of course we can talk next month as well. Thank you so much for staying tuned with me. All right.
Absolutely. Right. Thank you so much again for having me.
Sure, bye.
Have a great night.
Okay, bye. That brings us to the end of Just Government. Thank you so much for staying tuned to 90.9 FM.